How are we going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio on the internet at AmericanWorkersRadio.com and on the radio simply by going to 860 AM. If you live in Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, or northern Delaware, and remember, we depend on you to help us spread the word about all the good things happening for the Made in America movement. We're also talking each week about restoring industries, talking about getting people back into the trades, and so much more. And I have a very special guest who is going to be with us today. But first, I want to say thank you to our weekly panel members, Larkin Connolly, who is the National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, who will be joining us today at 11:30, Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, Henry Chaplinsky is our engineer, and thanks to everyone at the studio for all of their good work. I'm Michael Blihash, and thanks again for helping us out to do the many good things that we've been doing in the last few years. And by the way, Curtis Ellis extends his best wishes. He is out on another public relations tour with the Trump administration, so he'll be joining us in the very near future. As you know, last week we welcomed Sean Kilkenny, a proud American worker and a candidate for Pennsylvania state representative. And you can hear his entire rebroadcast by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, ladies and gentlemen, every week I get good advice from our listeners who like that we are focused on restoring industries in America. And what that really means is we want jobs for everybody. And I mean everybody, A to Z, nothing left out in between. People want us to help continue to restore a new jobs revolution in America, and people agree that until corporate America stays focused on doing business in America, it's going to be business as usual, which means corporations don't grow, but they grow outside the country, and we have to put all of that aside. People also like the fact that we push the needs to restore the trades and industrial arts programs in America's schools that we're paying through from our tax dollars. So it's an important issue that we continue. We have been hearing some news reports that school boards want to restore trade programs, but in a few days after that discussion is announced, it's down to nothing again, and it's forgotten for a while until the American people start speaking up again, then we have some progress. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce a very special guest. Her name is Beth Allen, and she's been doing a great job helping women mainly to do it yourself with her home improvement project. I'm going to ask Beth to let us know a little bit about herself and all about her campaign, and then I'm going to ask our panel members present to join in and ask Beth some questions. Beth, tell us about yourself.
Well, good morning, Michael. Thanks for having me on. Tell you a little bit about myself. Well, the short story is that I'm a registered nurse who turned into a stay-at-home mom who is now a licensed contractor and designer. So it's kind of a mixed bag of worldly experience, but an adventure that I've been thrilled to be a part of.
Well, I will tell you this, from all the publicity that you've been generating, I am really pleased to say that you've made an impact in Pennsylvania, southeastern Pennsylvania, like we have not seen for a very long time. Beth, tell us a little bit about how you started the project and exactly what it entails.
Well, over the years, I'd always grown up very handy. You know, grew up in a blue-collar family. We didn't have much money to make home improvements, so we did things ourselves. And I remember at a young age, probably about 14 years old, I remember cutting a hole in a wall with my mom and running electric lines, installing a switch, and putting a fan so we could move hot air from our wood-burning stove family room upstairs to heat the rest of the house. And my dad walked in after work, and he was like, "What the heck have you two done?" But I learned very young how to play with electric and plumbing and not to be afraid to make home improvements. So fast forward, nursing school, then I'm home with my children. I had a lot of time on my hands with, you know, three kids hanging out, but we didn't have my income. So I had, again, had to figure out how to do things myself. So after years of doing things in my own home, from electric to plumbing, carpentry, drywall, decor, I decided to go to Temple for their certificate of interior design. So I did that. And then a light bulb went off that so many women don't have some of the experience that I had had doing home repair and didn't necessarily have the gumption to try. So I started teaching a class, which was called Hip Chicks Home Improvement for Women. And that started the whole thing about 7 years ago. And it's been just an honor and a privilege to teach more and more women about the basics of home repair. So that's what I focus on.
Man, I'll tell you, you've inspired a lot of people. And I see the articles, I hear people talking about you. And, you know, we've been complaining for years about restoring the trades in the schools. And most of the administrators said, well, it should have never been stopped, but now that it's been stopped, it's going to be extremely difficult to restart the wheel. It's like reinventing the wheel. However, tell us a little bit about what you've done in Bucks County Community College to change that situation.
Well, I had a contact about 3 years ago that set me up with a meeting at Bucks, and the director at Bucks County Community College was immediately on board. She's like, "You want to teach women home repair?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "There's no reason why women can't step up to the plate in terms of, you know, home repair and DIY improvements." So I started teaching the program there. And it's a 10-hour class. It's 5 nights, 2 hours each week. And we tackle an understanding of tool basics. And then another class has an hour of plumbing and an hour of electric. Another class is an hour of carpentry and an hour of tile. Then I also do one of my favorite classes is all about walls. It's helping people understand how walls are constructed, how to hang things, how to find studs, how to hang that TV safely on the wall with those big heavy mounts so that it doesn't come crashing down. Spackling tips. And then we also go into painting and decor and another hour of weatherization. So I really try to hit the basics of a lot of topics just to empower them and get them started. And then privately, I offer other classes that go deeper into some of the topics.
Wow. I know that there is somebody who would really love to have you in their area because this is a growing situation where we need to get the trades. Many of the ladies that you're probably in the classroom with would not have had the trades offered to them, but they're learning the tips of how to do it themselves, and the Hip Chicks idea is great. Mark, how would you like to welcome our guests to the broadcast?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike and guys? And yeah, Beth, this is just awesome to hear. And I'll tell you a little bit about my story, but great, great idea. Great to see it. I've got a lot of women here with me, and boy, they care more and they do more, and they would love to hear. My daughter's 15. She's my boss. You know, she plays the clarinet. She can solder, and she shoots and hunts with me. You know, so she's great. But, you know, I own Made in America stores, but General Welding and Fabricating is my main manufacturing company. But my parents grew up poor. My dad had to go to the railroad tracks and kick the coal off the cars and take it home for the heat in his house. And my mother was an orphan, put on a bus, given up by her family to the county at the age of 5, and he signed her out. So coming up, I was your erector set kid, and my father taught me how to work with my hands. And exactly like you said, he took everything in. We shopped at the local dumps. You know, put the tools in a truck. If a dishwasher broke, you went and got the solenoid from
the
dumps.
Part.
And that's what we did. And because he grew up poor, and he taught me everything I know, not knowing it at the time, but I saved a lot of money learning how to work with my hands. And I support skilled trades, and I want the metal shops and wood shops back in schools. My father taught me a ton, but I had started Mark Small Engine Welding. I was a motor doctor, Mr. Fix on Wheels like you. I'd go to people's house and fix their lawnmower and whatever they needed at their house. But hats off to you to see you do it as a woman. I've got great women here. They're tough. They get the job done. They will love and listen to this show and look you up. I'm telling you.
Oh, well,
it's so awesome. You know, because there's nothing that can't be done, but you're given the confidence I think they need, to do it and to get involved, because, why does a light go on? Why does this happen? And that's the question. I joke that I didn't go to Harvard. I went to Mistake University. That's a lot more money, but it's right next to Harvard,
Yeah.
And
you
that's what you do.
Well, and that's what I find. It's amazing to me. These women come in and, the first thing I say to them, like for the plumbing class, is, do you all know where your water main is? And I get some deer in the headlight looks. And I'm like, girls, this is your homework. You need to find where your water main is. You need to find the circuit breaker panel. I want you to look under every sink, behind the shower, look in the closet behind the showers. Look for shutoff valves. I said, you move into this home, it is the biggest asset that you have financially is your home. And if you don't understand the inner workings of it, I said, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah.
And I also push them that they got to get their kids involved. If you leave your teenager at home after school for 2 or 3 hours before you come home from work and a hose on that washing machine bursts, the kid's going to text you or call you. You could be in a meeting. How many more gallons of water are going to spill on the floor? Kids need to know where the water shutoff valve is. They need to know what gas smells like and when to get the heck out and call 911. Like, we're not teaching our young people just basic living skills.
Yeah, and we talk about that, Beth, all the time, these soft skills, these simple things. What I'm running into, and the guys on the show, me and Larkin just had a great talk, and, Mike and Henry and, Rich, we all talk about skilled trade shortage, and I live and breathe it because I'm looking for welders every day. I'm actually busy again. I've got work. But you can't find kids, and I love kids. I go to the schools, I give speeches, I do things. But there's no metal shops or wood shops. Most of these kids never held a hammer, never held a screwdriver.
Yeah.
They're good kids, but we're starting with the basics. And what you're doing is unbelievable, because it's actually fun when you can fix something and you go these Lowe's and there's so many parts available. But once you get that training and confidence, so hats off to you, for going forward with this. And I think it could only grow, but everybody needs it. And you can save a lot of money.
Absolutely. And the things that I'm trying to teach, I'm not trying to teach them how to wire a house or how to replumb. I don't teach them how to solder. We don't even get into that. I teach them the basic understandings, the problem solving, when to call a pro, when to tackle the little things so that they're not spending, $130 calling the plumber to reset the garbage disposer. I'm trying to just teach them when they have the ability to handle and be empowered, and when it's beyond their skill. And it's just so much fun watching them grow week to week. They're so excited to come to class, and then they tell me what they did from week to week. And so I've been thrilled with Bucks. We did one class. Tonight is the last of my 5 weeks. And then next week I start another 5-week session, and it was so popular that we've added another session in July. So, we're filling out at 20 to 25 ladies in a class.
Well, that's historic, Beth. Everything that you're doing is beautiful for people that are after high school and college. But what do you think would help our high schools to get people prepared before they graduate?
Well, it was interesting. I actually volunteered some time this past weekend doing a program at our elementary school. It was a When I Grow Up program it was a career fair for like elementary and middle school. So I went and I had a whole display, and I had a little wall with drywall and 2x4s, and I had my screwdriver and my drill, and I showed the kids how to attach drywall and play with a stud finder. And these little kids you know, 7, 8 years old, had never picked up a hammer or used dad's drill or whatever. They were loving it. I had them with plungers sticking them on the floor. They thought that was hysterical. But it took some of the fear out of, oh, those are big, scary tools. They make noise and all of that. So I think it starts by definitely putting shop back into the classroom. I think it's imperative. My children did not have shop in their elementary school or in their middle school. And it drove me crazy that they didn't have this experience. They had cooking, which was great. They had sewing, which I'm all for. But there was no other hands-on, you know, experience. They had pottery, actually. Well, pottery, that belongs in art. Like, we need to give kids some tactile skills because it teaches them to problem solve. It teaches them to not throw something away. But let's look at why isn't this working and how can we make it fix instead of tossing it away and replacing.
Yeah, and, you know, Mike, I just want to, you know, Beth, when we had metal shops, wood shops, and see, I believe, too, to get it back into schools, and I do a lot on this with the P-TECH program, Dream It, Do It. I have the Made in America store. We have 8,000 products, but we have nothing that plugs in or, you know, takes a battery. And I tell people we've been in a moon, but we can't build a toaster in the United States. But it all ties together. When I go to the schools, the stigma is, oh, don't let your kids get dirty work. You know, they're going to be this, they're going to be that. When I walk the kids through in 12th grade, they say, that's cool. What is that? And it's CAD welding, drilling. Our motto is, you dream it, we build it. So we take anything on. And, you know, but I want to get them at 8th grade or so. So lately I've been thinking, we got to get the metal shop, wood shop, and this basic courses back into schools. You don't need to ship them away. Don't give them a stigma. Let's make it okay. Get these, you know, these basic classes, wood and metal, or, you know, Mr. Fix or whatever we want to call it, back into schools.
We have
absolutely.
To add the
I
prestige.
Mm-hmm.
We have to add the prestige to these,
yes.
Classes.
Yeah. I remember when I went to an all-girls Catholic high school, and I remember when I was, I guess, a junior or senior, I wanted to take a sewing class. And the nuns told me I was not allowed to take the sewing class. Now, granted, I had grown up very handy and resourceful. And I looked at them, I'm like, why can't I take sewing? And they're like, that's for the other girls. You have to take an academic class, because I was in a high track. And I thought it irritated the heck out of me back then that because I was deemed a very smart girl, that I wasn't supposed to work with my hands. And what a terrible message to be sending, because if you've ever done carpentry, plumbing, electrical work, you've got to be smart. You've got to know what you're doing. And we need to be pushing more kids into this and stop putting the stigma of, you know, intelligence can only be geared in one particular path or another. It just drives me crazy. Because at 2 a.m., when your water's blowing everywhere and you don't know what you're doing, you'll pay anything in the world to that plumber.
Yeah.
And he is God.
Yeah. And they're going to make very good money.
Absolutely. Nope. I say to my husband now, I should have gone 10 years ago and become a certified plumber. I'd be making a fortune.
With the shortage now, you know, that's you know, the problem. Everything in my shop and every piece of equipment has a computer on it. You got to be high tech. And that's where we bring the kids through. But then lately, you know, I brought the guidance counselors through of 7 of them from 2 local schools, and they were kind of blown away. They thought welding, you know, was really breaking rocks with a hammer. But once I showed them all the technical and all the things we do, stainless, aluminum, mild steel, then they said, but they all agreed the biggest problem is parents. Parents, parents, and parents. They said, we have to make the parents, you know, they basically bring them on tours, Mark, with the kids, because show them what's going on out here in the real world.
And Beth, I'll tell
you,
you're right, Mark. Parents have not been speaking up. And the fact is, Beth, if you had it to do all over again, your kids are still in school, would you go to before the school board and demand that they restore those trade programs?
I actually was talking with one of the curriculum directors this past weekend after this event, and I said to her, I want to work with her to figure out how we can bring a program back into the school. And maybe it's not a full-on shop class, but at least let's bring in, you know, a 6 or 12 week curriculum that has them exposed to tools and repairing and building some, even if it's more home oriented, you know, so they understand how their home works, at least it would get them thinking about all of these different trades as options for them. We're putting such an emphasis on college, 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 and not everybody's cut out for college, and not everybody needs to go to college.
Yeah, we know, and the one size fits all just doesn't work, Beth. You know, and that's what we're trying to do.
No.
If you're pushing, you know, this whatever in eighth grade, and you're driving them one way, and if that's not their passion, you know, we know if we don't give them another chance or opportunity, these kids become, they start doing other things that you don't want them to. But if you give them a little slack and give them, let them follow their dreams or something interesting, that'll probably help a lot of people by giving them a chance.
Yeah, and I think it really is that seventh and eighth grade level where we have to expose them to this hands-on stuff. You know, even to go into a classroom and take a ton of PVC pipe and create some ball contraption, you know, that you know, we put the ball in up here and we've got this tube and this tube goes there, just to get them thinking about playing with their hands and creating something that does not require a motherboard and a computer chip. You know, I just think they need that hands-on, because you learn so much problem-solving skills when you are doing plumbing. It's amazing to me. There's so many parts, so many facets, this connects to that. And just having that hands-on play, because so many toys today are not interactive like they were. We played with Lincoln Logs, right? And we built things, like you said, the Erector set. We did that, and today's kids aren't. They're sitting back and being entertained.
And it was pretty cool to build something neat.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I was like the queen of Tinker Toys. I was always building stuff with Tinker Toys. And my kids still have their Lego Logs, you know, Lincoln Logs and Tinker Toys down in the basement. And I'll never forget being coming home from an errand one day, and I walked into my 8-year-old son had our bar stools upside down on the island. And I immediately was like, Kevin, what are you doing? Because he's my mischievous one. And he's like, oh, one of the legs was loose on the bar stool, so I got your Allen wrenches, and I'm fixing them. He was 8. But he's grown up seeing us be resourceful.
Yeah, lead by example. Absolutely. By the way, Beth, we had recently on the program two great people from Orleans Technical College, Debbie Bellow.
Yes, I listened to them.
Linda Dumphy. Boy, they were terrific. I'm going to take a moment and bring in Larkin Connolly, who is a small business advocate. And boy, I'm sure, Larkin, you're listening and in disbelief of what can be done if you have focus and consistency. Larkin, welcome our special guest, Beth Allen.
Yeah, good morning, Beth. Welcome to the program. When Michael told me that you were coming on, I sat down, of course, to take a few notes, and ultimately found out I had about 3 pages of material. So welcome. I'm absolutely intrigued with what you're doing. I'm a mentor at SCORE, and I mentor a young lady. I'm so proud to have been her mentor for the last 5 years, of Patrice Banks. And I don't know if you know Patrice.
I know Patrice. I do. Yeah. I know Patrice. We're Facebook friends. We've met for coffee. She's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I've been mentoring her for 5 years, all the way back to the DuPont days, and have had the pleasure of watching her bring her mission forward. And it's phenomenal. And you're cut from the same cloth. You're doing the same thing in the world, and this country need it desperately. I wanted to say, the first thing that came to my mind was Mr. Delaney lived across, his name was Delaney, and all 3 of my children, all under the age of 7, and they're 2 years apart, 7, 5, and 3, all 3 of them loved Mr. Delaney, who gave them strawberries, and he decided he was going to build a workshop next to his property in Florida, the first time we lived here in Tampa, Florida, and he started from scratch. He dug the footer. He poured the footer and the flooring, and he built a very square, high, had an attic, a workshop where he built furniture. I can't even begin to tell you the learning lesson that my 2 boys and my daughter got from going over there and visiting that site. From the time that the footers were dug, and why are they there, and why did he dig this hole? Is that where? And it was, my son thought that's where the electricity was going to be run. But they literally watched him stick build this workshop. And it was a beautiful, obviously he's a furniture builder, it was a beautiful, beautiful end result. But they saw joists and they saw crossbars and they saw Romex and they saw electrical wires and switches, and it all kind of made sense to them. You know, before they just walked into their bedroom, and if they plugged something in the wall, they had electricity. If they threw the switch, they had light. If they turned on the water, they had water or a shower. They never really understood where it came from. But guess who got as much of a learning lesson out of it as anybody? Is my wife. And I kept on saying to her, you're the chairman of the board of this house, this property. This is the largest investment we're going to make as a family. The largest you and I are going to make as a married couple. You are here day in and day out. She was a stay-at-home mother by agreement of the both of us. And there were certain things that she just didn't understand. She'd call me at work and say, the washer won't work, or this doesn't work, or the garage door won't go up and down. And I just said, you know, I can't, do your job for you. I think this is something that you have to learn. It's like Patrice said, 80% of the decisions to buy a specific car are made by women.
Absolutely.
65%.
Same thing for the home.
Yeah, it relates right to the home. 65% of the repair decisions are made by women, and they don't even know anything beyond if you put the key in here and turn it, the car starts,
yep.
If you're lucky. So
yep.
You're essentially doing the same thing. You're taking the mask and the mystique out of a 13-by-12 bedroom by everybody understanding how electricity gets from this plug all the way back to the main breaker.
Right. And that's what I teach in my classes. I mean, I talk about the plumbing system and the three components. And when I talk about the venting, they're like, oh, that's what that pipe in the roof is. You know, like they had no idea. And they're like, oh, sewer gases. That's why you shove a rag in the hole. You know, and it all just clicks, but nobody's ever taken a moment to explain it to them. And then they just start asking really valuable questions. Like, well, then why does this happen? And how do I, and I can just see the wheels going. And, I truly would love to get into the classrooms and create a curriculum that teaches young kids to understand how a structure works, how their home works, you know, right down to the basics of, you know, if they see something that doesn't make sense, they should speak up. You know, I remember one night my son came running down from his bedroom, and he says, the lights in my bedroom are flashing. So I went up, and they were like blink, blink, blink. So I ran down, I checked the circuit breaker was on. And before I could head back upstairs, the lights upstairs stopped. And I went with my gut, I turned off the breaker for the night. And the next day, I found an outlet in the wall behind my son's dresser was melted. The current was arcing and had melted the side of the outlet. So, you know, here is my son learned that was a problem. And it was like the house was communicating, hello, there's something wrong, pay attention. And how many people have things go wrong in their house and they don't pay attention? And they need to.
And they have no idea what to do. You know, Beth, this is great. I really, after listening to what you're saying, I would hope that you would be able to meet with some of the Bucks County area and even in your own direct area school boards and talk to them, because what you said is correct. 7th and 8th grade is to start this ball rolling. The problem that we have is they put so much emphasis on so many other things that there's no common sense left in the classroom anymore. There's security,
absolutely.
There's this, there's that. In fact, it got to the point now, Beth, that many of the large and medium-sized businesses are now relying on what they call the applicant tracking system. It's the ATS. It helps pre-filter resumes. When they advertise, they need someone with abilities in engineering and all, with well-rounded opportunities to know exactly how things work in the shops That's what they want. So those, they go to pre-screeners, they scan the resumes, and they look for people that have a degree in what they're talking about in technology, but also with some skills, maybe hands-on skills in some of the trades, to know how the industry works, because marrying the technology person and the person who knows how the industry works is much more better for the employer. So this new system, it's been around for a while, the applicant tracking system, it's the ATS. Anybody can go to Google and check it out, and you'll see what's going on. When the boys and girls come out of school and they have mainly very scholarly resumes, that's wonderful. But in today's modern world, you also need hands-on skills.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that seventh to eighth, because I was doing a program for our local school. It's 54 hours, and they got a half credit in their senior year. But it was too late. They were like, that's cool, but my dad wants me to be a dentist, you know, or whatever. In seventh and eighth, they're still, before they get to that high school, ninth grade, it's so important. And the point was to give these kids a purpose, but get them exposed to it so they can say, that's cool. I mean, what you've done, Beth, is, I mean, just even that example with that bad socket, now that could have burned the house down, whatever. Them common basics should at least be taught, but most people would enjoy it if they gave it a chance to be able to. And it's confident building. It's it feels good to be able to repair your own unit or whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. You know, when I, this past weekend, you know, I had like a, you know, a 10-inch square piece of drywall and two pieces of stud there. And, you know, and I said to the kids, do you know what's behind your walls? And they're like, no. And I explained it to them. And they were like, that's cool. They're like, so you can't hang something heavy in between. And I'm like, no, you can't. And like, they started to have some sense. But think how many of these people are going to end up in their own apartments, in their own homes. I see so many young couples that reach out to me because they're clueless about how to take care of their property. Because I think those of us in our 40s and older, we grew up with handy role models more so than the kids that are like 40 and under. And these kids aren't going to have the skills. And unfortunately, I don't think they're going to have the income to write the check. So they're really going to be screwed because they won't have the knowledge or the money, and they won't know how to fix.
I went to a top graduation at RIT College out of Rochester, and you know, there was four students and their top of their graduation party, and we were disassembling some of the stuff at their apartment, and I asked for an Allen wrench, and I got a, you know, Phillips screwdriver, then I got a regular screwdriver. I couldn't believe, after their education, they don't know what certain hand tools were. You know, and that's what's going on out there, and that's why they need these classes earlier in their, back in their schools.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have a client who is a child psychologist, very well known in her neighborhood or in her community. You know, PhD in child psychology. And I was doing something at her house, and she said, "Beth, can you check the front porch light? It hasn't worked for like 2 years, and I don't know whether I need to call an electrician." So I go out. Well, what do you think the first thing I did was? I took the cover off the fixture and checked the bulb. And I went back in and I said to her, it was just a bad bulb. And she goes, oh, my God, for 2 years, I have thought I needed to call an electrician and just chose not to spend the money on that. And I said, it was the bulb. But how do we teach people to just go back to basic problem solving? And that's what I would love to see the curriculum be based on, that it's about problem solving and logic building, but we use tools and building small things to help get that delivered, if that makes sense.
How many people call an electrician because their ground fault went in their kitchen or their, you know, breaker kicked, or, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just common. It should be common sense, I believe, but it was never taught.
So,
I
have to tell you that as a result of my children watching that shop go up across the street, across the driveway, the number one toy that they got for probably the next 2 years, believe it or not, and this is through strawberry shortcake and all the rest of the things that were, you know, very popular back then, their number one present, and they wore it year round, and to see them wearing them around our pool just cracked me up. They, all three of them, had tool belts.
Yep.
And they had plastic tools hanging off of them.
Did you have one too, Larkin?
I didn't know how to put it on. But they kept on stealing my slide, my rules, and my tapes, my measuring tapes. And, you know, they'd hang that thing off their tool belt, and it would just sag it all the way down to their knees. But, you know, if you make it interesting, if as a parent you expose them, then all of a sudden they take an interest to it. They truly do.
If you make it okay, you give them a purpose.
Yep.
Yeah, because then that's how you pull in math and science and physics and all of those higher level sciences and theory. It doesn't matter how much theory you have if you can't apply it. And it's at that basic level that we need to get the kids engaged. You know, like the robotics programs at schools are exploding, and that's fabulous because it is teaching kids about building. And the robotics kids are probably more hands-on, you know, in any other club than they all are at the schools. But, you know, how do you introduce that it's not just about futuristic robotics, but how do you maintain the space you live in from day to day?
Yeah. Yes, Beth, there was a discussion a few weeks ago about how do we get more people exposed to the trades. After our discussion with the ladies from the Orleans Technical College, people said to me, that's a wonderful, why can't we get the school boards at least to have two classes a week? In other words, two specialty classes. There used to be singing classes and all this other stuff that you went to, assemblies. Why can't we have a half a day, twice a month, dedicated to programs like you are teaching for the young people to know? Many of the young people don't even know how to balance a checkbook these days.
It is a
crisis in America. And you're addressing a crisis. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Beth Allen. And boy, as you can tell, she's a real, very, very hands-on person. And you can check her site out by going to DIYHIPchicks.com. Now, DIY, that stands for do it yourself. HIP stands for Home Improvement Project, and Chicks is because she's dedicated to chicks.com. So DIYHIPchicks.com. Make sure you check it out today. And Beth, I want you to be introduced to another member of our panel, Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology. Rich, welcome our special guest, Beth Allen.
Hey guys, good morning, and sorry for running late. Beth, how you doing? I want to compliment you. Thanks for being here. I want to compliment you on what I think is a really unique and memorable brand offering of do it yourself chicks. I'll make sure that I don't give the name to any feminists I know that find it offensive to see that. I think it's really great that you can have a niche and a marketing branding strategy that can, I think, you know, change maybe some stereotypes that have existed for a while.
Absolutely.
And I just think what you guys do. I was looking at your site, was reading about you guys, and I just think how you're going about it is exactly the right way. It's about independency, not dependency, and doing it yourself. Best, there's no, you know, you want to control the outcome, you do it yourself, and I really commend you guys for that.
And, you know, if you can't control the outcome, at least you know what the outcome has to be. I'll give you an idea, Beth, what happened to me last season. I called someone in to give me a price to check over a heat pump unit. The guy came in and I was with a shirt and tie standing there, and he looked over. He said, it'll cost you near $1,000 to fix this. And I thought to myself, it needs a little extra Freon and a new filter. I said to him, thank you so much. And I was going out to an event that night, and I met another person, and I asked them, who does your AC stuff? And they said, well, call this person. So I called the person. The bill was $215.
Yep.
And the job was done. But because the person, the first person, thought that I was just some guy in a white shirt and a tie, that I was going to fall for any price that he dictated. Well, that's not it. He didn't know that.
Yep.
I'm the guy who runs most of the system. The only thing that I don't do is put extra Freon in the various heat pumps.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way, you know, people can know what to do. And if somebody is snow jobbing them, and if they don't, that is the biggest problem we have in America today.
Yep.
People don't have the experience. So whatever the traffic will bear, the person offering the service can look and say, oh, this person's gullible, I can go wild. Or they can say, if they bring them in and you say a little bit, I want you to check the circuit box to make sure that the right circuit breakers are in there, or something may be happening or whatever, the person already takes a different turn in the way they speak to you and offer you the price.
Oh, absolutely. That's huge. You know, one of the reasons why I'm teaching this class, and I say to the ladies, I don't expect you necessarily to do some of these repairs. Many of you will never change a light fixture. You will never want to do any plumbing. I said, but I want you to have the understanding of what goes into some of these projects so that you can have an intelligent conversation and not feel like you're being taken advantage of. One of my girls, I call them my chicks. So one of the chicks had a plumber come in because her sink was leaking where the garbage disposer attached. So he fiddled under the sink for about 10 minutes and came back up and tightened it all up and charged her $300. And she paid it because she didn't know any better. And she realized after that that was an insane amount of money and it should have been, you know, like a $100 basic call. And she has since gone out. She has done a whole bunch of projects in her house. I've gone to her house and done them side by side her to teach her, and then she's finished things on her own. She has bought a reciprocating saw. She took a wall down in her basement that was safe, you know, it was not load bearing. And this girl has just been like doing 1,000 things. She's 58-year-old single woman. And she's like totally empowered now and wants to have that conversation and be leading it instead of being behind it.
Very interesting. Wow, Beth, you are unbelievable. Mark,
thanks.
You must love this lady.
Oh.
I mean, someday you may have to bring her up to the Buffalo, New York area to give a one-day class over there.
A full tour. You know, it reminds me when I started Mark Small Engine and Welding, it was a cube van, and I went around to people's house, fixed their small engines, lawnmowers from 3-horse to 20-horse, but met a lot of great people. But I'd show them a lot of times, Beth, like you know, it was out of gas. The gas wasn't turned on. They didn't pull it hard enough. They just didn't know enough about it. But when I left, I felt they do now, where they had to clean the air cleaner. It was a plug into somewhere, widows somewhere. You know, it did, and they enhance them, and they kind of like to watch me fix it or help, you know, and learn something. But I think what you're doing is outstanding. It can only grow. Where do you see taking this business? Do you want to grow it? Do you want to keep going?
Oh, absolutely. My goal really is I want to be the Rachel Ray of the do-it-yourself world. And I say that because when Rachel Ray showed up on... Well, the women's movement is strong. Rachel came onto the scene when a lot of people thought that cooking was complicated. It was going to take a lot of time. I wasn't Julia Childs. You know, I can't cook. And she made it simple. She made it fun. She made it relevant and broke down some of the barriers to it. And that's what I want to do for the home DIY movement, is let people know that it's not as complicated as they think, that they have ownership of it, and they should have ownership of their home in every facet. And I try to make it lighthearted and playful. I tell women all the time, if you can give birth to a human, you can fix a toilet.
That's
and they look at me. And they laugh, just like you are. They laugh. And I said, exactly, think about it.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it's an inanimate object bolted to the floor. Don't be intimidated by it.
Yep. And you could take it to filling car tires, just simple things, vehicles, just anything around the home. It's endless where you could go. Well, I see it, the timing. You made it. You got to make it cool again. That's what we want, even Made in America. You know, I support products made here. We support skilled trades, entrepreneurs, inventors. We got to invent more. But all this ties together. You got to make it cool again. You got to make it okay. We got to allow people to have that confidence and want to fix things. My daughter's into sports. She's got, you know, she's 15. She's my youngest, and you know, field hockey, lacrosse. But she likes to fix something. I don't know why you can't have something at school where you build it, like the robotics or whatever, and make that cool. And you want to be part of that team that builds something they can use and be proud of, and it would make it cool like a sport.
Yeah, you know, and with so many people sitting in front of computers and on their cell phones. I think that this is really should be a mandated class, because cell phones off while you're in the class, learning these basic common sense needs for life.
So the most exciting thing I've heard from you, Beth, is the term load bearing wall. You said it as though you truly, truly, in your heart knew what it was. And that, I think, is phenomenal. I know you.
You know.
I know you do. I know you do. And that's why I would encourage you to spend a little time with Patrice. She's been blessed with on the verge of signing a deal for a television program. And it's going to end up being a comedy, unfortunately. But listen, I think you are carrying the mantle of a subject that needs approached badly, and I think you're drawing a parallel between yourself and Rachel Ray is perfect. There's no question about it. I think it's perfect, and I will personally tell you that if there is anything I can do, and I can speak for Patrice, you know her, she surely would help too. It's time for you to look towards growth. It's time for you to take this subject to the street.
Yeah, and I've been thrilled with the press that I've gotten recently. And I also shot a pilot last summer for my own DIY reality show. It's on my YouTube channel. It's called Hip Chicks Flips. And the subtitle is Fixing Homes and Flipping Mindsets. And it's a show about me finding a woman who has a need in her home. And she needs to make a repair. She doesn't know how. She doesn't have the tools. She doesn't necessarily have, you know, the guts to get it started. And I show up and I bring a crew of volunteer women, not a crew of 10 professional contractors, but 10 volunteer women from the community. And we land on her doorstep and we make the repair together. The homeowner's not sent away and then comes back for the big reveal. She's a part of it. And in the pilot, I taught a single mom and her two teenage kids how to lay a luxury vinyl plank floor. We painted, we repurposed her furniture. I taught her how to take down a cinder block wall and remove a window. It was a weird window inside the house. And this girl was so empowered, and her children, by using the tools and getting behind this project. So the pilot's out there, and I keep shopping it around. I've sent it to PBS, haven't heard back from them. But it's kind of a cross between This Old House and Extreme Makeover. But I'm teaching the women on site how to make these improvements. So the volunteers are learning, the homeowner's learning, her kids are learning, and everybody walks away feeling more empowered. I just need to find a network that believes in this and gives me a platform.
That's great.
And you deserve it. We have This Old House, and why can't we have Do It Yourself with Beth Allen? I think it's a wonderful idea.
Thanks.
I do too. And Beth, I wish you the best. I truly do. And if there is anything that I can do for you, either on my own personal platform or on the SCORE platform, just let me know. I'd be more than happy to help. I'm very proud that you have. I mean, I've been insanely proud of Patrice for 5 years, but to see you come along in the same image and likeness, or she and yours, whatever, doesn't make any difference. I'm just proud of you.
Thank you.
It's great to make your acquaintance.
And Beth, my daughter Jessie's going to listen to this show, probably the only one she's listened to in 4 or 5 years, because even my manager here at General Welding that was going to hire a girl, and she heard he didn't, a girl, and she said, let me go talk to Mark, Uncle Mark, because I'm going to, she believes in the women power, and they actually have more care, more hand dexterity and whatnot, and they're phenomenal, like with TIG and whatnot. So it's awesome what you are doing, and be proud, and the sky's the limit, absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, Beth and I are definitely going to work more closely together and see what we can do. Beth, what you did with the women on the supplemental classes is historic. What we have to do is get that back into the schools, 7th, 8th grade, the prime classes, and then into the actual classes in high school. Because boys and girls could have 1,000 careers before them, but if they have the basics of life, that's really the best thing that they could have in case of an emergency. There is a advertisement, you probably saw it, Beth, you live in our area, where the gentleman is calling the gas company about his water heater.
And he doesn't know where it is.
He has no idea where he is. He's running to the garage. He's looking under sinks. Did you see that ad?
Yep, and he's trying to act real cool, like, oh, yeah, there it is. It was hiding behind my weights, you know. It's hysterical. It's hysterical.
But it's true. It's very true. Yeah. Too many people just are so involved in everything around them, but nothing focused on what they can do for themselves. And that line
and their
alone,
property.
Do it like yourself. It means...
I'd like to suggest something to you, Beth, and I'm sure you probably have already seen it. In Patrice's case, she's out there teaching women things about her car, her book that she wrote that teaches people. It's a glove box guide for women. Well, guess who spends more time? Guess who needs it just as much as women do? You'd be amazed at the number of men that have no idea that there aren't carburetors on cars anymore. You know, it's just amazing. So,
you know what's really interesting? My YouTube channel hit 1.5 million views a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And I get about 30,000 views a month. So it's about 1,000 people a day watch a video. And the interesting thing is that 52% of my views come from men.
I see that nowadays. Sure.
Well, you're lovely to see, number one.
Well,
the way you present things in all of
and
your...
that's the difference. That's the difference. Yep. And my guy friends have said that I don't make men feel stupid or emasculated because they don't know this stuff.
Right.
And I welcome them and say, you know what? If dad didn't teach you or grandpa didn't teach you, you don't know. And it's not a male thing. It's not a female thing. Men need to learn to cook. Women need to learn home repair. It's just you're a human. You live in a home. You need to learn these life skills. That's it.
Absolutely.
Well, well said.
And I think it starts with parents, you know, breaking down those barriers that, you know, girls play with dolls and boys play with trucks, and take their children as a group. And if somebody's building something in the neighborhood, watch it go up. Seriously, watch it go up. And they get a better understanding of what the finished product looked like before it was finished.
And if we didn't have, if we had it back in schools, 7th and 8th grade, one of the students might come home and help the parents fix something and go, no, this is how you do it.
You know, Beth, I mentioned this before on the broadcast. At one of the major hardware places that I go, a man said to me, the best customers we have for our subcontractors, the people who do the plumbing and all, are people who think they can do things on their own watching this old house. They go and they fix the toilet and they pull the wrench so hard that the nut is just impossible. It cracks the whole back of the tank. And the next thing you know, they don't know what to do, so they call a plumber. If they had those classes in school, or if it was available through summer school or whatever, we would have less problems in the world because people would feel more confident about themselves. Depending on somebody else is not a good thing.
And I like
no,
Beth,
being
Beth,
independent is just...
Yeah, no, I like that you're teaching them even just to shut if the toilet's overflowing, at least shut the valve off underneath. You know, I mean, you're teaching them the basics. A lot of people don't know that, or you know, with the toilet's overflowing or what you can do and pull up the float or shut the valve off. A lot of people just don't know that.
You know, Beth, it's right. What you said is absolutely correct. On the back of majority of the newer toilets is the shut-off valve. And sometimes if people are having trouble and they said, it will not stop, I don't know what to do, I said, well, go in the back of the toilet and shut it off. There is the valve right there.
Yeah,
and they say, no, I have to go to the main place, the place that's bringing the water into the whole building. Where is that? I say, no, just shut the valve off in the back of the toilet. And they
but how many people
they start turning it? How do you not? This is not an older person either. How do you not know those basic things?
Yeah.
Unless you're put in a classroom where you have those things available to you.
Right, right. I mean, I'd love to be able to walk every homeowner through their home and say, okay, let's look in this access panel. What's in here? You know, oh wow, look, this is for your shower, and let's go underneath the sinks but. You know, we don't have that option. But this is, to me, my kids have taken pre-calculus. My kids have taken AP Calc and AP Psych and all of these, you know, advanced
classes. Probably in eighth grade.
No, they're not that bright.
I was just
you know.
Talking to a teacher. They're trying to do it in eighth grade. Yeah. Go ahead.
But they are. They're pushing kids more and more of this advanced content. But like you said, they don't know how just to function in their world. Even the microwave. How many kids, my son will attest to this, go to college and they don't know what you can and can't put in a microwave.
Very true.
You know, like, oh, let's not put our aluminum foil, you know, takeout in the microwave. Like, parents
That's,
are teaching this stuff.
It's
We're so
getting
busy.
To the time we have to sign off for today, but I want you to come back again after you graduate another class. Maybe you should have a graduation program and call in the media to have, you know, the do-it-yourself graduating class with Beth Allen. Beth, I want to thank you for coming on today. I want to thank Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky, Tim Hollerin, and everybody at the station. I thank you, Beth, for coming on, and there
thank
will
you.
Be a rebroadcast of today's program up a little later on this afternoon. We'll make sure you get a copy of it and send it out to all of your friends. And ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I want to thank you for going out and supporting our Buy American Made campaign, because America needs people like us.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And remember, you can listen to rebroadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com.